התפקידו של אברהם אבינו ראש יוטס. שני תפקידים נוט לאברהם אבינו על עצמו לאחר שגילו את האמס. After Abraham Avinu discovered the truth, whatever it was he discovered, he took upon himself two jobs, two tafkidim. The tafkid orishon haya likreis bris avi makorish baruch hu. The first one was to enter into a bris of love. I'm just translating the word to see what it means. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who atzmai ki yochid yashnim v'yitaken es asher pogam v'kalkal adam arishon b'cheto. He took upon himself as a yochid to be mashlim and to rectify the sin of Adam arishon. V'yashiv es ha'odom shenivra yichido el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to give back this Adam that was created as an individual, one. We say, we know that Adam arishon was created yichidi. Hashem didn't create a human race, he created one person. That he was going to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Adam HaRishon, that was Nivra Yechidu, Shvila Nivra Elam, that created damage in the world that needed rectification of himself, obviously. That Adam, Avraham Avinu, was going to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Achu Oysa Masha Osu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ibed Kiviyochol Oysa Yochid, Shvila Nivra Elam. Hashem lost what Adam HaRishon had done. He'd lost that Yochid, that Shvila Nivra Elam. V'nebo Avraham Avinu v'idnadev lachzil HaKadosh Baruch Hu oysa yochid v'kach hu koros bris ave im Hashem uspirot. Avraham Avinu undertook to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adam HaRishon, that person, that the world was created for, and that's called koros bris ave im Hashem uspirot. Echad haya Avraham Avinu nasa kiviyochel ach echad im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says that Avraham Avinu was echad. He was meyached himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shah sheyered la'atzil es amram mikiv shanayish. The Gemara says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was yered to the kiv shanayish to save Avraham Avinu from Nimrod's fires, Hashem said, ani yochid ba'olami, I am one, unique in my world, v'avram yochid ba'olami, and Avram is unique, he's a one in his world. It's only fitting that a yochid should go and be matzil a yochid. Anybody gets there, it's on the kuf yud ches in psochim. Anybody be learning psochim this month? It should take you a few weeks. You should be on the kuf yud ches. You'll see it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yochol haya levado. Hashem, so to speak, is alone. Einish derish es elokim v'kol abriya. There's no one in the world who has anything to do with Hashem. No one's interested in Hashem. Avraham Avinu, you ever had that feeling? You're feeling you're in a place, in a situation, you're the only person in this room or this place, whatever, that cares about Hashem. It's a moedic feeling. Yochid, yochid. Avraham Avinu gamu amad levadai mul kol oivda lelim sheba'ilo. Avraham Avinu didn't just walk with Hashem positively, he also fought against all the avodah zorahs in the world. Kushe levadai yechidu, alone. Unique and alone in this world. Hashem came to save him from the kiv shanayish, and they were bound together in a covenant of love. We obviously don't understand on our level what was the sin of Adam HaRishon. Ach, kafi shalim doinu chazal, aleinu limloit bekol inyan gavua, ram v'niso es hamaskonus hanogayis lanu. Chazal taught us what they taught us, and we have to draw conclusion from the chet of Adam HaRishon in order to apply it and understand what was going on our level. In order to understand what it was that Avraham Avinu restored, we need to know what it was that Adam HaRishon destroyed. Mareches ha-teva hi mareches mesuderes she-aboyis baruch sida l'kol ha-nivroim. We know that the natural world is a very well-ordered world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into place for the entire creation. The more science goes into it, the more it realizes how well Musudan, well ordered and awesome it is. Mareche zu murkeves misibus ubisoyvidu. The natural world is made up of cause and effect. We know that. We don't get caught up with the cause and effect. We see through the cause and effect, and we see the nisim in the bria. But the natural world is made up with cause and effect. Mashmois advarim hi.
The
everything in the world is mukhrachu b'maisev binyonov. It's forced, it's imperative in everything that it does. And it has a fixed environment, a fixed misgeret, fixed system that it is unable to remove itself from. The sun goes and turns and does what it does when it does. The sun cannot decide one morning, I'm sleeping in. Yeah, Nates, I had a late night last night. Nates is a bit late this morning. The end of opposite. You can tie the sun down with chains of titanium. You're not going to get it stopping to do what it's doing. Everything in the natural world, there's a pre-existing cause, and the effect is affected by the cause. There's nothing you can do about it.
Except for Yeshua.
The things I just said, we live outside the Maarechet. We live outside the Maarechet. You'll see about the natural world, what we call the natural world, is built on cause and effect. Once again, you dare not get tied into the cause and effect. We plummet down to the ultimate cause of everything, the first source of everything. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We had that discussion, the difference between Nais and Teva. What is the difference between Nais and Teva? It's not our subject now, but while we're here, let's not get caught up here.
They're both miracles, just Teva you take for granted.
The difference between Nais and Teva is a number, that's all. It's a number. If a little R2-D2 little robot would come in here, hop onto the desk and put on a tie, there's not one person that would just ignore it and carry on learning. Everyone would go, wow, look at that, amazing. Yeah? Have you seen a human being put on a tie? You ever stop to look at it? Fascinating. It's a trillion more times fascinating than an R2-D2 putting on a tie. So why don't we notice that? Because we see it a lot. It happens all the time. So when something happens all the time, that becomes teva. When something happens once in a blue moon, that's called a nais. But it's the only difference between nais and teva. You want a better, example? Redesla has a much better example. Redesla has a whole chapter on this, by the way, called nais for teva. He has a beautiful example. Whatever, for some reason or whatever, you decide to go and chill out and hang out at the Beis HaChaim, the cemetery here, not far from Beit Shemesh. You decide, really, you need some Yishuv Hadas, whatever. You go, you're sitting on the park bench there, and suddenly you notice one of the graves moving, you know, the soil zuzzing or whatever, and a skeleton starts slowly crawling out and sitting up, and it starts growing flesh on it, until it's completely covered in flesh or whatever, and the hair starts growing, everything gets growing, and it gets up and walks away. That you'd call a nais, if you're still standing on your feet after you've seen that, right? But that you would call a nais. And they'd say, while you're sitting there, you notice a little seed from an oak tree falling off the tree and landing in the ground. Right? And they'd speed up the camera, the seed disintegrates, and it becomes completely rotten, and from there sprouts a sprout, and from there grows another full oak tree with seeds on it, right? What would you call that? That's teva. What's the difference between the two stories? They're exactly the same, by the way. Two things went into the ground, disintegrated, and regrew and redefined themselves and regrew themselves and re-put themselves together and carried on with life. Exactly the same event. How come the one is like, you faint when you see it? And the other one is because of a number, that's all. The one happens all the time, and the one doesn't happen all the time. That's not even nice and teva. They're all nisim. But there is a natural teva world, and there's no cause and effect in any of that. It's all happening because that's a tzivu Hashem. This tree is growing, why? Because the malach's hitting it on its head saying, grow. It's the only reason it grows. And the tchisa meisim is also just the sea splitting. Sea splitting is because that was a tzivu Hashem. It's not because of cause and effect. But Hashem did create a world that we see with cause and effect. Our job is to go beyond it.
But we see also in nature we have some rules.
A whole bunch of rules.
And if it breaks the rules, it's a nes. That means
that breaking of the rule is also the same nes as when the rules didn't get broken. An eclipse of the sun is just as much of a nes as when there's not an eclipse of the sun. Not that breaks rules, it actually follows the rules very well. You can predict an eclipse 1,000 years before. And how did they make a calendar for the Jewish people for 2,000 years? 2,000 years of calendar, knowing exactly when everything was in. And you can't have Hashanah Rab on Shabbos, and you can't have Pesach here, and you can't have Shabbos there, and you can't have Sukkot here, and you can't have, with all the rules and regulations, because it's completely predictable. Then you're going to look and say, oh, wow. You know, Hillel didn't know, you know, Hillel didn't realize that, you know, 50 years down the line, there was going to be some change in the Teva, and therefore we have to rewrite our calendar. Calendar is Lukra. That's only between Nais and Teva, is how regular and how often you get to. That was Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Vinegar burning is a Nais. For him, it was no Nais. Why? Because he penetrated through cause and effect. He realized that oil doesn't burn because it's a combustion material, has a molecular structure that allows it to be wet, whereas vinegar doesn't. Oil burns because Hashem says oil burns. So therefore, if Hashem says oil burn, vinegar burn. It had nothing to do with the cause and effect. It's another whole sugya on its own. I'm just bringing it up here because I don't want you to get stuck here thinking that we suddenly have now become cause and effect mix, because we're not. If nikach ledugma is balei chayim, hem oichlim shoisin porim verovim. Animals eat and drink and they procreate. Ulam kol ha'poilus ha'elu na'ases etzlam b'toich hechrach. They do all of this out of an imperative. Hagoshes harav machrich es balei chayim letuach hamazoinoi. Why does a lion get up and go hunt animals? Because he likes the exercise. Lions are the laziest animals in the world. I kum kari every morning. I'm an African, I've hung out in the bush, I've watched lions, okay, I see how they get up. You ever watch the lion waking up? And why the Torah said kum kari, I have no idea, okay, no one gets up slower than a lion. Yeah, you've been in the park, you've seen how a lion wake up, they're the laziest creatures in the world, okay. That's why it's the female lion that hunts. It's the lioness that does the hunting. The lions don't get involved too much in hunting. So why does he get up and go look for food? Because he's hungry. If he wasn't hungry, he would sleep. Now let's say this lion goes and he grabs a whatever, some kind of a buck or whatever. The animal that got caught by the lion had no option not to get caught. And the lion had no choice whether to catch or not. It's a closed system. There's a cause and effect in the system, and they have no choice. They cannot break the system. The hunger drive is what drives them. Everything in the Bria works like that. This leaf can't decide it's not going to fall off the tree right now. The time comes for the leaf or the orange or the apple to fall off the tree. It falls off the tree. Why? Because that's what it was created to do. And it can't say, no, I'm going to hang around here a bit longer. Because that's not the way the nature works. There's something pushing it. When the malach hits the grass on its head and says, grow, it grows. It can't say, oh, you tell, don't tell me what to do. You know, it's not a teenager. Don't tell me what to do. Have you ever seen a grass turning around and saying to the malach, what are you doing? Get out of here. You know, you hit me, a dafka, I'm not going to grow. No, it grows. The only creature that can break this marechet and get out of this marechet is Adam. Now we're stepping to this massive subject of Bechira. We keep talking about it. We have to take off his money and just learn about Bechira. We keep coming here and we don't know what Bechira is. But anyway, be that as it may, there's a miracle in the world called Bechira, which allows whoever has access to this Bechira to break the natural system, to actually destroy the Rotzen Hashem.
There was one thing that in nature that decided to try and go against its natural order,
which is?
And that was the Yam.
We have to understand what that means. It's not the only example, by the way.
The Yam decided to argue with Moshe there. I was created on the third day and you were created on the sixth day.
All these cases need to be understood. How did the moon rebel? How did the trees rebel? How did the earth that didn't produce the trees, how did they rebel? Understand them. Odessa discusses that, he speaks about all these cases. But how we see that things which the Chodesh shouldn't have Bechira are argued. Just, I'm not going into it, but generally there we're talking about the Sar of the Yam. It wasn't the Yam itself. It wasn't the Yam that was arguing. The Yam is a bottle of water. There's a Sar of the Yam. There's a spiritual creature, whatever that means, a malach or whatever, that controls and governs each thing in the physical world, and it has certain obligations. So it came to HaKadosh Baruch and said, I don't understand. But the sea itself, the Olam HaTeva, that is not, that's the one general approach. That's the one general approach. That's the Sar. The Sar works according to Din V'Cheshbon. The Tsar is up there in the heavenly host and he's exposed to Din V'Cheshbon. He wants to, excuse me, according to your rules, Hashem, the sea shouldn't split. But the Yam itself, the Tev itself, has no say. You always know that when it talks about When it's talking about the physical things that sinned, it's not talking about the thing itself. The moon's a blob of rock. Although it does have... Okay. Ramchal has a more intricate piece on the music that the planets play. You see that the planets have some kind of... Okay, whatever. The mazolos, whatever they... כאן עלינו להבחין בנקודה חשובה. כוח הבחירה שניתן לאדם אין כוונו יישא לבחירה בין אוכל חמוץ למתוק. Let's just work out what בחירה isn't. What it is not a simple subject, but what isn't it? It's not the choice that I have to eat sweet and sour or chili. That's not בחירה. You like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream, and you're going to the 99 flavored chocolate ice cream store, whatever, whether you choose the chocolate or the super duper fudge or whatever with chocolate chips is not bechira. It's nothing to do with bechira. It's choice. Animal can also choose whether to eat this piece of grass or that piece of grass. Zuot seida b'toich marechas ateva b'ovad. That's a step in the physical natural world itself. Hatchaf ativi lo'ev matok mei v'esadem licho b'matok. Some people like matok, some people don't like matok. Why do they have 55 different things in the menu in the restaurant? Just have one thing that everybody likes. I don't know if you've noticed, in pizza shops they usually only have pizza, why? Because everybody likes pizza. Yeah, but in other restaurants they have 55 things in the restaurant and everybody always orders something different. Why, whatever the first guy orders, why don't we just want the same thing? No, because I don't like this and he doesn't like this and he likes his steak well and he likes it medium rare. That's nothing to do with bechira. He has natural tendencies, desires that have been planted in him for whatever reason, and he goes after his natural tendencies. Lobach, and you see that. Oh, you can't stand this. How do you drink that stuff? Way too much. Delicious. The Dalmanas walk a mile for it. What's going on here? That's Bechira. Where's the Bechira? Bechira. Lohu Bechavakach, Humonaila de Asiba Shekodmalakach. That's not Bechira. He was motivated by something that came before that. In other words, every decision that's motivated by a pre cause, that's not called Bechira. That we're talking about is completely different to this, and we're going to explain it and try to understand mahi bechira chofshis amitis. What is genuine bechira? Okay, he's going to say what he's going to say. Ramai says Rav Dessler has a few essays on bechira. Some of them are minay or bay contradictory. It's a complicated sugya. There's many different approaches here. Essentially what you need to remember as we're going through all of this is Bechira is a decision a person makes with no pre-existing drive. That's why it's Chofshi. If he makes this decision because of something that came before, then the Bechira is not now. The Bechira was what maybe came before. Keep that at the back of your minds as we go through Bechira.
I cannot say, it's very high. It's really to make the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not. That's it.
That's an application of Bechira. We want to understand what Bechira is in essence. Bechira is the tool you use to choose whether to do the Ratzon Hashem or not. But what is this Kli itself? Why am I putting on Tefillin this morning? Because of Bechira decision? Or because of something that happened yesterday that I decided to stop putting on Tefillin and now I'm just doing it as habit? There's Bechira now? When you're going to the Makolet and you don't steal, is that because you made a Bechira decision not to steal? Or you have a pre-existing cause that doesn't let you steal because you're not the kind of guy that could steal? You get rewarded for going to the Makolet and not stealing? Once again, if the guy is standing in the Makolet and there's nothing pulling him to steal or not steal, and he chooses to steal, he gets punished. And if he chooses not to steal, he'll get rewarded. But if you go into the Makolet and you're not even thinking, stealing's not even in soy for you. Because years ago it was really taken out of your Mareches HaBechira, your Nekudas HaBechira, you go in there and you don't steal, so then you're not going to get rewarded for not stealing. There's no Bechira, yeah?
Why not?
And you give them back? For some people that may not be Bechir either. That's obvious to give the money back. Well, it's a problem. You're going to take someone else's money. Oh, it depends. For the guy living in the inner city, or whatever, his Bechir is whether he shoots for a lady before he takes the car or not. Taking the cars are given by him. And Shalim, do I shoot the guy when I take his car or not? That might be a Bechir for you. For the next guy, stealing someone else's car is not even a... For one guy, cheeseburger could be a Bechir. For another guy, cheeseburger is not even on his... He can sit and watch a guy eating cheeseburgers all day. He's never going to choose to eat a cheeseburger. That's what's called the kudus abechira.
But we have also bechira, which would be more easy or more difficult. That means in the chalut, you don't want to steal because it's easy for you. But I am sure you are not rewarded for this one. Because we are integrated this midah, but it's a work also.
But I'm saying that's not called bechira. There's no bechira there. Does a heroin addict have bechira, by the way? This is one of the places where Vesta is going to shock you. Heroin addict, does he have bechira or not?
Not anymore.
Even though he's been compelled much further down this path to use than to love. Vesta discusses imbalanced desires. And you have bechira there as well. Okay, I told you. Let's just go through this simply one step at a time. He holds it there and he tells Bechira, yeah. Not the pre-existing Bechira that the first time he used and became addicted to nice guy. Talking about right now, here and now. Person has a desire for a cigarette and a person has a desire to live. Which one's stronger? Which is stronger, the desire to live or the desire to have a cigarette? Never, never. Take this guy and try and frame off the edge of a cliff and watch how he fights back. No ways. The desire to live is much stronger than the desire for cigarettes. How can the desire for cigarette win every time?
He knows he's going. I think he knows he's not going.
No, because he thinks that the cigarette is not going to fight. It's going to make him.
But I'm asking you, which is the stronger desire?
To live.
To live, much stronger, and yet the desire for cigarette wins every time. How's that happening? Okay, this all needs to be understood. You know, straightforward. Not straightforward, so yes. The guy knows, one more cigarette. If Tats told us, yeah, as he was standing here, he told the story about that fellow with the Burger's disease. You remember the story?
No.
You never heard this?
No, I wasn't. No.
He was working, I can't tell you the story as well, he tells it because he was there. But I'll just give it over to you. I think he mentions it in one of his books as well. But he told it, yeah, he spoke the other one day. We spoke about this subject. He was working in the hospitals and there was a patient who had Burger's disease. Burger's disease, basically, the way I understand it, there are no doctors here. Okay, what basically happens is as a result of cigarette smoking, and I take no responsibility for the medical stuff here, but as a result of smoking, the blood vessels in the body start shutting down. And basically the limbs are therefore unable to function and they get amputated. So it starts with the fingers and the toes, and then it goes to the hands and the legs, whatever, and eventually that's what happens. You die from it eventually. So the first time he met this guy, he was coming in to have his fingers amputated. Or his left arm, I don't remember what the story was, but he was smoking. He came in, he was smoking. And the only thing that causes Burger's disease is smoking. If you stop smoking, it reverses itself pretty quickly. It means whatever you've lost, but you can keep what you've still got. Carry on smoking, you're going to lose the next limb. Anyway, to cut a very long story short, Rav Tetz met this guy over a couple of years where he was just coming in and losing another limb. You know, the leg from below the knee and then above the knee and then the right leg, the left leg. He said he came in the one time, all he had left was his right hand. He had a cigarette in his, like, the last two fingers he had. He had, like, these two fingers. He still had a cigarette, whatever. He said the last time he saw this guy, they were wheeling him in, okay, with no hands. He already lost both his hands. And he had, like, a little metal structure on his wheelchair that was holding his cigarette. So now, you're saying, puff a cigarette, lose, puff a cigarette, leg. Which one should win? I mean, the leg should win over the cigarette every time, and yet he's still winning. Well, guess what asks this kashi in Mitzvah Melayan, and discusses it at length. It's called the Sugya of Ratzon, and it goes into Tfilans and Wadnu Subach. I myself don't understand it properly, so I don't talk about it, but we can look at it inside if you ever want. Try and understand how deep this subject of Bechira really goes. And it needs to go deep, because without Bechira, you're nothing. The only place where we exist is in our Bechira. Everything else, what did you do? You got a good memory, you're clever, you're tall, you're thin, you're rich, you're poor. Nothing to do with you. You go up to Shema and say, what did you do with your life? He said, well, I was very good looking. Hashem says, great, that was my work. And nothing to do with you, kid. He said, I had a great memory. Listen, I didn't forget anything I ever learned. Hashem says, that's wonderful. Who gave you a photographic memory? What did you do? All we ever did was our Bechira. That's all we are. That's who we are. If you want to define a Jew, you define him by his Bechira. Because everything else is Hashem, not you. So it's an important subject to understand. There's one Mahalach. We have to understand exactly how. We have to see all the different pieces that fit in there.
Are you going to leave us like this?
Huh?
After you've said all of this introduction?
I told you we can close this. Take a Michtav Miliyahu and spend the next 6 months going into it properly. I'd love to do that. I'm more than happy. It's an amazing, amazing subject. Anybody ever done that yet?
No.
It's also with Paro. If he is loose, 100% or not, he's very hard. We have a lot of...
Rabbi Tetz wrote a whole book on the subject.
Yes.
In English. there's no more excuses.
What is it called?
Read it. Free will, destiny, something free will, which is what a convoluted title for a book about free will. It's called Free Will, Destiny, Predestination, something like that. It's a grey. Take it out and read it. There are many kashas on Bechira. Can your Bechira affect my destiny? If I wasn't destined to die, can your Bechira kill me at a time when I wasn't destined to die? You're in for a shock, as I was. Ravi Shadim Holden under circumstances, yes. How does that work?
You have not only individual destiny, we have also human destiny.
I'm talking about my individual destiny. How does your Bechira impact on my life? Chosalavol says it can't, and the Menu Shreem says it can. Take up the book and read it. It's a fascinating subject. And why we neglect the subject is a pillar, because it's all we really are at the end of the day. If you haven't understood Bechira, you've understood nothing about yourself, because there's very little else to understand about yourself except Bechira. So we have to start. I said, we're going to start. I didn't say we're leaving it. I'm just giving you some of the background to the complexity of the subject, so you don't think this is everything. He's taking one mahalach that he's going down in order to get to the point he wants to get to. But we need to understand what Bechira is in depth. All right, mentions him, we'll start tomorrow. See, on Thursday we learnt about the Balatanya, who wasn't sure whether he was going, you know, the guys went. So if you'd asked me on Friday morning, where are you for Shabbos, I would have said Tifrach. Somebody actually asked me, are you going to Beit Shemesh for Shabbos? I need a ride or whatever. I said, no ways, I'm in Tifrach for Shabbos. Where did I land up for Shabbos? You could ask him.
In Yerushalayim.
I was in Beit Shemesh for Shabbos. Beit Shemesh for Shabbos.
My daughter had to say that you had a grandson this year.
I said I was pleasantly surprised. He said I'm surprised.
I was more surprised than Ellie was. He didn't know that I wasn't coming. I knew that I wasn't coming. Imagine how surprised I was. No, my daughter found to say that the daughter lives in Gimel. Found to say that she needs to go to the hospital to have a baby. So can Emma please come and take her to hospital? And can I come please look after the kids? So we came to Beit Shemesh for Shabbos. Yeah, because I decided I'm not staying, whatever. If I'm going to be in Beit Shemesh, I might as well be at the grove. We read red treat. So we unloaded everything onto my daughter that lives in Aleph. We were mezakeh her in the mitzvah. No, just easy with her kids to all be together, whatever. And me sitting in Gimel with my two teenagers alone would have been torture. This way, at least I heard. Yeah. In a normal place. No, I just kept thinking the whole time, like, we just learned it. Yeah, you see Poshut, you know, you think you know where you're going to be.
We don't control anything.
Except our Bechira. So that's what's very important to know about Bechira, because it's the only thing you're going to give Din V'cheshbon for. I'm not going to be called out and say, what were you doing in... I suppose I had Bechira. I could have said, no, I'm not going. You know, you have your baby on your own, you know. Find someone else to look after your kids. What do you want from me? I'm just a grandfather, you know. No, that's good. Boch Hashem. Friday night. Yeah, shit, boy. Simple as by yours. I'm not going to keep this for the bris.
I'm going
to do a black gold. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. Swazi red and black gold. Yeah, in Mexico you've got to be careful talking about black gold, you know, and get arrested. So, thank you very much. I'll let you know.